It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
It's Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. If you want to join the conversation, the phone number is 312-332-3776. Let's start with this. The Chicago Bears face off against the New Orleans Saints this weekend. Big game on Monday night where the Bears get crushed by the Rams. And now another big test this week against Drew Brees and the Saints. And today the injury report comes out and we may have to keep an eye on Khalil Mack and whether or not he'll be ready to go and play in this contest. And if he doesn't, it's going to be a tall test to take on the Saints on Sunday and come away with a victory.
Yeah, absolutely. He was listed as a did not practice, so there's no designation right now. But this is coming off a Monday night game. So, you know, most of the reporters, Dan Weider, who joined Waddle and Sylvie earlier today, were tweeting, you know, just wait until tomorrow to get like an actual designation. Like if he doesn't practice tomorrow, that's when you have to start getting worried. If you watch that game, that play where it seemed like the entire Bears or the entire Rams offense was pushing to try to get into the end zone, and Khalil Mack was kind of stuck in the middle of that, and that, then Akeem Hicks kind of came and jumped on top of the pile, and then the whistle was blown. Akeem Hicks was called for that penalty. Khalil Mack kind of stayed on the ground for a little bit. And, you know, kind of grabbed at his leg. He got off. He said he was fine. You know, they didn't need him. He came off for the next play. And then, you know, he was going in and out of the lineup for the rest of the game. And it looked like when he was in that he was favoring that leg. So right now he's listed as with an ankle. Cordarrelle Patterson was out also of practice with a quad injury. Allen Robinson is in concussion protocol. Cole Kmet was limited participation with a back injury. And Eddie Jackson had that knee, which we saw him go down with.
Right.
He was also limited, but I would imagine that, you know, that's just more just trying to rest it before the game on Monday.
Okay, so when we take a look at this team, and you say, okay, 5-2, you looked really bad against the Rams. The game that you lost against the Colts in the second half was not really a contest because the Colts ran the football and they controlled the clock and you really had no way of getting back into that football game. The offense at this point this season has been terrible. I think in saying terrible is putting it almost nicely. I mean, this is one of the worst offenses in all of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Defensively, at times they've been pushed around. I know people get a little bent out of shape when you say that the defense didn't play up to par. But, you know, this is not the team that we saw in 2018. This is not the 85 Bears defensively. They are susceptible to giving up points, to giving up long drives, to being pushed around on the defensive line. And you mentioned Akeem Hicks. You know, for someone who is such a stud player, he commits a lot of mistakes. And I feel like he gets a pass because half of the mistakes he does with a smile and he's laughing. You know, he encroachment penalty and he's having a good laugh on the defensive line. I mean, listen, buddy, you're part of the reason in multiple weeks now why long sustained drives have gone on. It's because of your penalties have allowed teams mm-hmm. to get first downs in big mm-hmm. spots. So, you know, I think there's a lot with this team that you could say is very negative. Last night here on the show, I tried to paint a picture that look at the Cleveland Browns. They get demolished by the Steelers 2 weeks ago and they bounce back and they win a game against a bad team, the Bengals, on the road in this last week at the end of the game. And the Bengals are now the Browns are now 5-2, and they don't look as bad as they did immediately following that loss to the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if maybe we are looking at this with the wrong way, because like I get it, the offense is terrible, but 5-2, you are still set up really well to head to the playoffs. And I wonder if maybe we are just being a tad bit too negative when we look at this team at the moment, because the numbers are in your favor. This team is most likely to make the playoffs. And if they don't, that will then give you the answer of the head coach will probably be gone. Ryan Pace will probably be gone. And we know that they need a new quarterback for the future. So all three of those things, if they miss the playoffs, I think that's likely to happen, but chances are they probably will make the playoffs and everyone will be back.
Yeah, I think you look at the offensive output this season, right? And you look at how the offense has struggled. Everybody's been healthy. You know, the offensive line has had some injuries. Allen Robinson, I know, is in concussion protocol. But for the most part, everybody's been healthy. This has been a very healthy team so far. And then you make the switch to Nick Foles, and you have a few weeks with him, and you haven't really seen any progress. I mean, they've only scored 30 points once, and that was in a comeback win against the Falcons, and that's when Nick Foles had to come in yeah. and win the game. They won that game 30-26, but other than that, 27 against the Lions, 17 against the Giants, 30 against the Falcons, 11 against in the loss against the Colts, 20 against the Bucks, 23 against the Panthers, and then we know 10 points, no offensive points, only the field goal, and then the Eddie Jackson fumble pickup and scoop and score for the touchdown in the game on Monday night. So you just look at that offense, and that's what you brought Matt Nagy in to do. You brought Matt Nagy in to be the offensive-minded coach. We've always talked about that's why you don't hire defensive-minded head coaches, because then if you have a good offense, your offensive coordinator turnover is going to be big because other teams are going to want your offensive coordinator to be their head coach, right? Like, look at Eric Bieniemy. Like, if Eric Bieniemy doesn't get a head coaching job this year, it's going to be because he just doesn't want to leave the Chiefs. He's going to have opportunities, and he's going to get a head coaching job offer, right? So you brought in Matt Nagy to be that guy, to be the offensive wizard that he is, to come in and run the Chiefs system, and he's going to have this big tight end in Adam Shaheen. We all know how that worked out, and he's going to, you know, he liked Trubisky, but we kind of know now he didn't really like Trubisky, but then he's got Nick Foles, so that should change things, and the offense is going to look different, but it's going to be better because he knows the system, and he's going to be able to run the system. Well, you just look at this. If I'm Ryan Pace, and I'm Matt Nagy's boss, right? That's the hierarchy. It goes like McCaskey, Ted Phillips, Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, right? Like, that's the hierarchy. Yep. So if I'm being called into the boss's office mm-hmm. because I screwed up at my job, and he shows me the drive chart and hands me the drive chart from the game.
I think he submits against, it. Well, here you go. It's like a TPS report. Here
no,
you
no,
go,
no.
boss.
I'll print it out and have you come sit in my office. Just come sit in my
Is Pace giving it to Nagy or Nagy submitting it to Pace
no,
for approval?
No, it's sitting. It's Nagy's
so it's
called
Pace
in.
Handing it,
yes,
handing it to
it's
Nagy.
It's him sliding
saying,
it across the desk.
Take a look at this.
Sliding
sir.
It across the desk.
Let me take a look.
Here's their drive chart. Well, that's DVOA, but I'll.
What do you got here? Well, I'm acting for Twitch. Yeah. I'm acting. Oh, what do you got here? Okay, hold on.
Punt. So this is Nagy has or Pace has it. To me, Pace has it. And he slides
he just,
it across the desk.
The slow slide
and
across
he goes,
the desk.
Explain okay. this. Explain this. Right. Explain punt, punt, field goal, punt, 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 interception, downs, downs, interception, downs. Explain that to me. Explain that to me.
Well, because you know what Nagy says? He goes, well, we have the sixth best defense in football. Don't I get credit for that?
No, you don't get credit for that because I know you don't go to that side of the building. Like, I don't get credit for sales because I don't go to the sales side of the building. I don't make sales calls.
Can I get credit for that?
I don't get credit for sales. Do you get credit for sales?
I don't know.
Okay. That's how it works. So he doesn't get credit for the defense. He's supposed to be getting credit for the offense. And unless they make the playoffs, the only saving grace for them to me is the playoffs. That's it.
I agree with you. And I think that's where this season is heading. But, you know, I don't think that that's new. And I don't think that that's like something that a Bears fan is driving around tonight saying, oh, wow, they really uncovered something here. They're like, isn't that the point of this season? We entered this season knowing that this team had to make the playoffs. You know, Matt Nagy's on the hot seat unless he gets this team to the playoffs. We have mm-hmm. not seen enough development. Now, if he gets to the playoffs, he's going to allow himself to buy himself some more time.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, yes. If they make the playoffs, even if they lose in a wild card round, they're going to stay. They're going to keep them. And that even goes against the concept of we know it in our gut. We know it. He's not a good head coach. That's it. We've seen enough of this. And don't give me the record. There are going to be blog boys out there. They're going to tweet us. Well, his record, he's got a winning record. Look at the record. He's a winning record guy. And same thing. They do the same thing with Ryan Pace. You know how many stupid times they tell us about the 12-4 season in 2018? Your team lost in the wild card round.
Mm-hmm.
They love the record. Mm-hmm. How about championships? Can we get a championship? How about this? How about an NFC championship? Can we even get into the NFC championship game?
No.
Is that possible?
No.
Because think about it. Go back in time. When Lovie Smith was fired, what was the point? What was the point of it? Why did they fire Lovie Smith? Because Lovie Smith was the guy that won games.
It was good, but not good enough.
He had a good record, right? If you want to give me the record dance, you want to give me the little record thing?
Because
that's what these guys want to do when they argue with us.
No.
Lovie Smith was fired. Why? Because here in Chicago, we want champions and we want championships for our football team that we love. That's it. Now, the situation that has taken place of the multiple head coaches before we get to Matt Nagy have been terrible. Absolutely, they deserve to be fired too. But Lovie Smith was good.
Mm-hmm.
He just wasn't good enough. Why? Because we wanted championships. And for some reason, people have forgotten that. Now they're just cool with a regular season record. It's not going to be good enough. Matt Nagy needs to be better. Ryan Pace needs to be better. And this franchise needs to be better.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing I would submit, if I was Ryan Pace, I would get the analytics, I would get the DVOA, and I would slide it across the desk and be like, what do you explain this? Explain to me why you have the sixth best defense in the league. Explain to me why for the last 3 years, since you've been here, I built this for you. You can say whatever you want about the offense. Tell me that I brought in bad players. Because this year, Nagy had input. The year before, Nagy had input. Every year Nagy's been here, he's had input on those offensive players. So bringing in Jimmy Graham, drafting Cole Kmet, who you keep saying needs to see the field more. You control how much he sees the field. I don't understand this. So when I go to Matt Nagy, if I'm Ryan Pace, and I'm done, you know, fixing my hair and getting a fresh fade and going in there and fixing and everything, putting on a fresh pomade.
Fresh fade.
And going in there and saying, look, I've given you a top five defense in 2018. A top 10 defense in 2019. And right now you're sitting to the sixth best defense in the NFL. And this is what you're putting out there on offense every year? You're wasting. I traded for Khalil Mack. You know how much I gave up to Khalil Mack? You know how much money we're paying Khalil Mack? You know how much money we're paying Eddie Jackson? You know how much money I'm going to have to pay Jalen Johnson because he's playing well? Roquan Smith, all these guys? Because they're playing well? And you can't do anything with it? You can't muster more than 30 points once? This season, you're playing some garbage defenses, and you can't do anything. The Panthers have one of the worst rushing defenses in the NFL, and they couldn't do anything against them.
At the end of Lovie Smith's run with the Chicago Bears, 2010, the Bears went to the conference final. They lost that game. They went 11-5 that season. Then they go 8-8 in 2011, 10-6 in Lovie Smith's final year. And I get it. There's a lot of coaches in between there, you know, the Trestman, the Fox, now to Nagy. We thought Nagy was going to be different. And things, as far as we look at the record there, and the problem with Lovie Smith was always on offense. He didn't have an offensive coordinator who knew what he was doing. He didn't have a consistent offense. The defense led the way. Well, now we have an offensive mind, and the defense is still leading the way. To me, that is worse.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. The record is good. 12-4, 8-8. Now you're 5-2. Hopefully you get to the playoffs. But if you don't, I don't think that this is going in the right direction. All right, good start. Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. I didn't know you were going to get me like upset about Bears football to get things going.
That's
here
what
on the
happens,
show today.
Man.
The Dodgers won the World Series last night. I got to ask you about that, but we'll also take your calls on the Bears. 312-332-3776.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Is Rob Manfred okay?
I don't know, man. Listen. Look. Look.
Is he all right?
Disclaimer.
Is he okay?
Yes. By all accounts.
Okay.
By all accounts,
all right.
He is fine. According to Carl Ravitch,
okay.
He has no health problems. He is okay.
All right. All right, we'll talk about the commissioner of baseball in just a moment. If you want to join the conversation, Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000. We're talking Bears. Let's talk to Jeff and Lamont. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys, I'll tell you right now, I love your show.
Thanks, man.
I'm glad you guys got the spot. Love the guys from Libertyville, as Cap always refers to you guys.
Thank you.
As far as Nagy goes, the reason why I'm calling in, he's just, I don't want to say it, but he's arrogant. I mean, he's one of those kind of people that are just, like, arrogant in the sense that he will not take suggestions. He will not take anything. He's like, he schemes the entire game in his mind the entire week, and he's like, nope, we're going to run it this way. We're going to do it this way. This is how we're going to do it. And at the end of the day, what I'd love for him to do is change where it says BU at the bottom of his play call to be something like this, as I'm doing it my way. But, of course, he can't do that because that would give up too many trick plays that he thinks is going to work with Cordell Patterson. So we'll just change it to my way.
My way. Instead of BU, my way. Thanks for the call, Jeff. Appreciate it.
I'm so with Jeff. I'm so sick of the dumb BU stuff because it's just ridiculous because you're lying. You're lying to the people. When you bring in all of these offensive gurus, and I said this last week after they beat the Panthers, and I'm like, look, you still don't have good offense. And when you bring in DeFilippo and you bring in Lazor and you're like, look, we look in the mirror and you've got these press conferences, you're like, look, that's the first thing we look at. I look to myself as the play caller and, you know, we're going to look at everything and all that. But then when you get out there on Sunday, he's got that, well, be you here, Cordero. Here's the ball again. Like, you can't tell me that there aren't coaches who have been head coaches in the NFL, successful. They've won in the past. I know not as of late, but the Nagy's trying to be Saban and get them reclamation projects or whatever. But still, these guys were successful play callers in the game at one point. You can't tell me that they're not in meetings going, what the hell are you doing?
You know how there's those restaurants that, you know, like chain restaurants, they're probably the lower level of like between fast food and good food quickly restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always switching up like their gimmick.
Yeah.
Like there's always a new gimmick. And the entire point of always having a new gimmick is to get you to come in. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But there's really no substance there. Like you're not going in for the sausage links in the little pancake roll.
Yeah.
You know, like there's always the gimmick like, oh, they got these new sausage link hot dog roll things. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, I see the commercial.
We got buffalo wing tachos. What's that? It's a buffalo wing tater tot nacho.
Yeah, like, but I'm not coming in for that, right? There's no substance. And that's what Matt Nagy is. He's got you.
Although that does kind of sound pretty good.
It kind of does. I wish we could have that.
Buffalo wing tacho.
Right now. He gives you the catchy little phrase and the little, you know, he's telling you exactly what you should be hearing from an offensive genius, but there's no substance.
Yeah.
He has no substance to back up what he's telling you. And I find that annoying. So I agree with the last call there that, yeah, Jeff's right. Like, to hear Nagy constantly tell us that he knows what is wrong, but yet he can't fix it, to me is annoying. Let's go to Greg in St. John, Indiana. Greg, you're on ESPN 1000.
What's up, boys?
Oh, hi.
Hello.
Hold
on. Greg Braggs.
Who is this?
Ever since Mitchell Trubisky got benched, we have not heard from you.
Where have you been?
Wow.
My guys, Chip and Dip, or as I call you, Kibbles and Bits, but you know I love you, but you're hitting it right on the head. I called in because you're hitting it right on the head, Black. I love that your mindset is with the wipe the slate clean. That's what we talked about last year. You know, I didn't want them to roll over a quarterback into this coach like a Teddy Bridgewater or something like that. This is the best case scenario, and maybe hindsight 2020, but this fortuitous start they've gotten at 5-2 and even the benching of Mitchell Trubisky has opened the door to Nagy and Pace's jobs being officially on the line. Had Mitch been in, they could and started sluggish, they could have missed the playoffs at 8-8 and said, well, it was the quarterback, right? Well, now with the 5-2 start, like you said, Black, if they don't make the playoffs at this point, everybody's gone. And if I may, I would like to suggest if it does get to that point, which I hope it doesn't, I want them to make the playoffs. I want Nagy to keep his job. But if it doesn't, let's get this top of the front office changed where it's a top to bottom whole organizational restructure. And I would start it with getting a president of football operations in here, not a GM, someone that's above that. You can keep Ted Phillips, put him to the executive side, make the money. I don't care. But I would hire Peyton Manning as my president of football operations, and I would go from there, from GM, head coach, and quarterback. The Bears have never had all three come in at the same time. They're always rolling over the GM or the head coach or the quarterback into somebody else's hiring. And I just feel like that's why we continue to roll over into these problems. If we could just get it all wipe slate clean one time, maybe we'd have what happens with Braggs, the Cardinals right now.
Braggs, I don't know if it was on Twitter or in the Twitch chat, but I saw you bring up Peyton Manning's name before. Why do people think that Peyton Manning is going to be good at this? Just because he was a good quarterback.
I don't know for sure. It's a gut feeling, and he's been around Hallis Hall the last couple of years. I guess that's the only reason.
And what good has it done? What good has it done?
Well, I'm not saying it's done any good. I just am interested in that kind of getting a football guy
runs your team,
not Ted Phillips, a businessman. You know what I mean?
You got to have an idea, right?
No, like, that's fine.
An idea.
No,
I get it.
No, that's fine. I just don't understand the ifs, because I saw a couple people, and it's making, you know, like they say, oh, bring in Peyton Manning, he'll fix everything. He hasn't done this yet. He was a good quarterback, and he does those cool videos on ESPN+. Okay.
Sure.
Like, no, and I understand. Look, if you want to say get rid of Ted Phillips or he shouldn't have a say.
Those videos are kind of good. He's an honorary Bears fan now.
Okay, cool. If you want to get rid of Ted Phillips, I completely agree. He should. The business dude should not be making football decisions. That I completely agree with. But if Nagy stays and they bring in another front office guy, what's going to happen is it's going to be Nagy picking that GM and someone he can work with together. Otherwise, you're just doing the same thing and bringing in a GM who's going to be like, this guy's not my coach. I want to get rid of him.
100%. That's why I feel like this clean slate option is the best option for the Bears. And I understand the whole Peyton Manning thing's kind of out there, but I'm just saying I want to change the top before I even get to that point of GM, head coach, quarterback. That it starts at the top, and it's just so hard for fans to see that because nobody cares about front office stuff. We worry about what's on the field, but it starts there. So, you know, whoever, you know, but
Braggs, I don't think it's that out there. I think it's a good idea. And Braggs, call again. Don't be a stranger, okay?
Yeah, where you been,
you
man?
Know
where
I
you
love
been,
you.
Man?
You,
where you been?
All right.
You know I love you guys, and I'm rooting for Foles. We just need the offensive line to block for 5 more minutes, and the guy might be able to complete some passes.
And Braggs, do you agree with this premise that the numbers are in the Bears' favor to actually make the playoffs, right? Like, you don't see this as doom and gloom, right?
Before the other night, I thought there was no chance they wouldn't make the playoffs the way they were playing. Now they played so bad the other night. I'm so worried about a slide like we saw last year. The offensive issues are exactly what we saw last year. And I couldn't tell you. I'm not a football expert. And that's why I'm sitting there trying to excuse make for Mitch last year. Now I could sit here and excuse make for Foles the same way all day long. Now we have a little more clarity on what the problem is, and what I'm scared about is it can't be fixed. If they're not going to go out and get a left guard, you get Cincinnati Bengals just signed 2 offensive linemen off the street a minute ago. Are they even in contention right now?
No, they're
not. And the Bears aren't making moves? I mean, you got
that's Ryan Pace.
Fresh face.
And it's Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy doesn't get a pass for the personnel stuff.
Hey, he
does
not did get you a listen to the first segment stuff. Of this show? Nagy's not getting a pass here either. So.
Nope. You draft
Matt. Have a good night,
one,
man.
Guys.
Greg Braggs, hey, how about that? Calling the show.
I get that people are saying, and you said it, and I agree with you that if they make the playoffs, that there's not going to be any changes.
They'll be
but
back.
isn't making the playoffs and getting bounced in the first round the same thing? Like, isn't
no,
it the same?
You made the playoffs.
It's the same, but there hasn't been any progression. Like, that's what happened 2 years ago. You made the playoffs and you lost.
I understand that.
So if there's no progress, then what's the point here? We're just going to do this again?
It depends. Does this city want to be a big boy city and chase championships, or are you content with just making the playoffs?
Well,
because
that's my point.
There are teams that make the playoffs each year, and then they say, you know, this coach isn't right. This player's not right. We need more. We need better. There are teams out there that do that. Whether or not the Chicago Bears will be that team, or this time around, they'll say, yeah, we're just happy making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully our defense can score enough points in the wild card game.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Rudy. Rudy in Schererville. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Rudy?
Rudy.
Hi, guys. Love listening to you. Mr. Black, I got to kind of question your statement about the numbers play out for your Bears.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, if they lose Sunday and the Packers win, that almost guarantees the Packers a division. Or, and then I think the Bears go to Tennessee. So if you go to the South, you got to think Tampa Bay or New Orleans has got to grab one of the playoff spots. Now, I know the West is going to beat up on each other, but I find it hard to believe you're not going to get at least one out of there, and probably two. So the best scenario I could see is they may get the last wild card. I just don't see it.
Rudy, final 10 games, what do you see the Bears going? Are they at least going to split? Are they going to go 5-5?
Okay, you got New Orleans, then you go to Tennessee. If you can convince me they're going to sweep the Packers, well, good luck.
Well, let's say they split that. Hopefully they beat the Packers once.
Okay, you can say that. I'm a Packers fan. You guys know that.
Oh, okay. All right, well, then get Packers two wins there. There you go.
Okay.
Does that work?
Detroit, I don't know where they're at. Bears beat them by 4 the first game of the season. I don't know. But my point is, there's enough cupcakes for the teams in the West. Like I said, they're going to beat up on each other. But they got a few cupcakes on their schedule, too. So I just don't see it. They could, but I think it's going to be a stretch.
Thanks for the call, Rudy. Appreciate it. When I look at the Bears' schedule, Houston, Jacksonville, Detroit, Minnesota twice, you do have an opportunity to at least win 4 games. 4. If you win 4 games, you're at 9. 9 wins total for the Bears. And Rudy's right. Maybe 9 wins doesn't get into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible. The NFC West is very good. I could see that. Maybe 9 wins isn't enough. But chances are you have an opportunity to get to that 10th win. And I think 9-10 wins right there, you're going to be right in the conversation. Let me ask you this. If the Bears win the same amount of games as a team that gets into that last wild card spot, but they're the team on the outside looking in, do you still have the same answer as far as if the Bears miss the playoffs, you're firing everybody?
Look, I have the same answer.
The Bears and the Cardinals both have 10 wins. The Cardinals win the tiebreaker. The Cardinals get that last wild card spot. The Bears are on the outside looking in. You miss the playoffs, but you still are a 10-win team.
Look, I have the same philosophy whether they make the playoffs and lose the first round, miss the playoffs, and the last one where they win the same amount of games but don't get in. I think that if you don't win a round in the playoffs and show significant offensive improvement at the end of the season, then everyone's out. Because what's the point then? What are we doing? You're going to bring back Nick Foles? You're going to trust them to draft another quarterback and we just do this all again? No.
Well, listen, you're going to have to draft a quarterback either way. So even if they make the playoffs, you're telling me you're trusting Ryan Pace to draft the next quarterback?
No, I want everybody out.
Let's go to Johnny listening in Dallas on the ESPN Chicago app. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing today? I've been listening to you guys for a long time. I listen when you guys especially are on a Waddle and Sylvie show. And there's something that I keep, Yeah, I hear you guys talk about all the problems, the Bears have, but there's one thing that I don't ever hear anyone, speak of, and I think it all falls back about when the Bears let Fangio go. Because if you really think about it, since 2018, the Bears defense has been one of the most penalized defenses in the NFL. They miss all these missed tackles all the time. They never did that under Fangio. And then I think what the reason the offense was good in 2018 had a lot to do with Fangio as well, because I think Fangio during practices would show Trubisky in that offense schemes and moves that they're going to see during the game, and I think that helped them to prepare a lot better. And I think that if we're gonna get the Bears back to that. To that type of mentality and winning a percentage, I think Ryan Pace needs to call John Elway and trade Nagy for Fangio, and I think that solves our problems.
Thanks for the call, Johnny. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, the moment Vic Fangio left, it seems like a little edge went with the defense. Although, I think it's very difficult to stack up against how improbable the odds were in the favor of the Bears for how good they were at getting turnovers in 2018. And I don't know if I could give all of that credit to Vic Fangio. I think it was just one of those situations where you had the talent on the team, the way the games broke, the way the offense scored points early in those first quarters, and everything kind of came together where it was one of the great defensive performances in a regular season by a defense. They were that spectacular in 2018.
Look, they still have 5 interceptions, 4 fumbles. So they're still...
It just hits differently when every interception, every fumble goes for a touchdown.
I understand that, but that's very hard to do. And we talked about how historic a defense that was. And they're still a top 10 defense. They're 6th in DVOA right now. This is a top 10 defense still. And it's hard to get a top 10 defense. Look at the other the top 10 defenses in the league, right? The Bucs are number 1. The Steelers are number 2. The Ravens are number 3. The Colts are number 4. And number 5 are the Washington football team. And you're right behind them. You're number 6.
Yeah.
There's only one team in that grouping that's lower than the Bears in total DVOA, and that's the football team.
I want to get to this. We will continue taking your Bears calls at 312-332-3776. Last night, the Dodgers win the World Series. They win last night 3-1. You heard the game right here on ESPN 1000. After the game, Rob Manfred. Yes. The Evil Empire, Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred. Did you see him after the game on the podium? Did you see him speaking to Corey Seager? Did you see him answering questions about Justin Turner? In case you missed it, here is Rob Manfred last night giving the MVP trophy to Corey Seager.
Corey, you thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance. You led the Dodgers to a World Series victory, and it's my pleasure to recognize your great play with the Willie Mays Most Valuable Player Award presented by Chevrolet.
This is also Rob Manfred answering questions to Justin Turner being pulled for the game with a positive COVID-19 test that came in during the game. Strange response from Manfred. Here's Rob Manfred on TV last night on Fox.
Well, it's a bittersweet night for us. We're glad to be done. I do think it's a great accomplishment for our players to get the season completed. But obviously, we're concerned when any of our players test positive. We learned during the game that Justin was a positive. He was immediately isolated to prevent spread.
Is he okay? No, okay, hold on. PSA, timeout. Thank you, Zach Morris. Carl Ravitch, after the game, tweeted this. I reached out to Rob Manfred after the game, and he said he is fine.
No health
issues. In-stadium audio caused a delay, but he is healthy and delighted with the efforts of all to get through it. Okay? He is healthy. He's healthy. Time in.
No health issues.
What is going on with Manfred?
Before the Twitchers, because they're already starting saying...
You led the Dodgers to a World Series victory.
He is healthy.
He's healthy.
He is fine.
Okay.
That being said...
Ground rules. He is healthy.
That being said...
You thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance.
That being said, it was a great World Series for everybody. You guys show up, you play some baseball. Some people got tested, and then they didn't get tested. And then they got positive tests, and we moved them away, and people had to cancel games. And what happened to the Cardinals? Do you know what the Cardinals did? The Cardinals played like 5 games, and then they didn't play like any games. And then the Marlins, everybody was like, the Marlins shouldn't play baseball. And then guess what? In your face, man. They made the playoffs. So take that. They made the playoffs. And then guess what? And then we have a new bubble for the World Series. And Justin Turner says, you know what? Screw you. I'm going out. I want to party about it. Because do you like a party? I like a party.
We
Who
all
doesn't
love
like
parties.
A party?
When I saw that last night, did
why
you?
Why are you interrupting me?
Because, sir.
Why are you interrupting me?
I know.
Why are you interrupting me?
Don't get
hostile. That's not nice.
When I saw that,
this
you know what I thought of last night when I saw this?
You thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance.
You ever seen The Wolf of Wall Street?
Oh, yeah.
At the end of the movie, when Donnie and Jordan are having their... When the ludes kick in.
And
Like, didn't Manfred standing up there? Like, did you see how awkward he was before he gave the trophy?
Mm-hmm. Brad!
Sounds like he's saying Brad.
He's saying Brad.
Wow.
Brad!
Listen, you interrupted me and I was trying to tell you about the World Series.
Oh!
Did something hit
for our players when he was up there to get the season completed?
You interrupted me. I was talking about the baseball season. It was so much fun, and then the Dodgers came in and Clayton Kershaw. People were like, "I told you, what's going to happen to Clayton Kershaw? He's going to perform well."
Who speaks then, in a sing-songy way
and
like
then Clay,
this?
Drunk people
throughout the postseason with a great
drunk
performance.
Drunk people.
Brad.
Unbelievable.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
You thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance.
Listen, you interrupted me before I wasn't done with my story. I was telling you about the baseball season. Yeah. The baseball season was amazing. And then the people were like, Kershaw's going to suck. And I was like, I told you to bet on Kershaw. And then Kershaw came in and he won it. It was amazing. And then did you know what's on tonight? There's all this MLS on tonight, and it's so good, and then there's no sports. We're like, what are we going to do?
Alex and Wheeling, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Alex?
You know what I miss? I miss when we could watch a lot of baseball games with the different players.
Go ahead, Alex.
What's up, guys? Hope Abdallah is all right over there.
He's not, but it's okay.
That's all right. I just want to talk about the pitching change yesterday that was on a lot of people's minds, especially on Twitter.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I've been seeing a lot of things about people saying it wasn't the right time and all that. I think, specifically, since they were focusing more on analytics, since that's how the Rays were built, I always go to the grandfather of analytics in this generation, and that's Billy Beane. Yep. And he said that my stuff doesn't work in the playoffs. And I think last night was an indication to show how his stuff doesn't work in the playoffs, because it's a lot different to navigate a 7-game series than a 162 regular season series. You don't rely on the same things that you do in the regular season, especially with launch angle and bullpen usage. I honestly think that the overall sports world was robbed of probably what would have been an incredibly dominant performance on an elimination World Series game. I mean, we're talking in the same sphere as Curt Schilling in 2004, and I don't even know who else, maybe even Madison Bumgarner and what he did in the Giants World Series run. Because for Snell to do that, that was unreal.
Yeah, and Alex, how can you ever prove anyone wrong if you have a predetermined result to every single time you try and compete? You know what I'm saying? Isn't that the point of competition, is that somebody can muster up something that maybe was unexpected of them?
Right, and I think they had a game plan and they were sticking to it. I don't blame them for is not accounting for variable change, for not understanding that, especially in the World Series, that things are going to happen that you didn't expect. So you got to, more times than not, you have to understand how to go about it, whether that's a contingency plan or something. But you can't just stick with the same Excel spreadsheet you had coming in there and keep using it when especially things are going your way.
Yeah, and then, you know, like, what also doesn't help, Alex, is that Betts then hits a double off of Anderson when he comes in. You know what I'm saying?
Especially when he had 2 strikeouts prior to that.
Right,
no.
And he looked bad in the third when he struck out that second time looking. I mean, thanks for the call, Alex. We appreciate it. During the baseball season, we were hosting the baseball show here on ESPN 1000. We'll be back next summer for the baseball show as well, right here on ESPN 1000. And, you know, it is what the Rays do. They are an analytically driven team.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be able to use both. And this is not a conversation, do you like analytics? Should you use analytics? Back and forth. That's not the point of this conversation, because analytics is just information. If you say you don't like analytics, you don't like information. That's idiotic. You know what I'm saying? But there needs to be room to allow someone to compete. And I think what we saw last night was Blake Snell was competing. And we can go to the StatCast numbers and kind of look at it and say, you know, they're not really hitting a whole lot of balls off of him very hard. There was one single that was like 91 miles per hour hit off of him right before he was taken out of the game. But it's not like they were smashing it against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's where you have to have trust in your starting pitcher. And I know throughout the season, at no point did they let him go into games like that and go beyond. And when he did, he got batted around. So, like, I get the numbers behind it. But he seemed to have shown up for the Rays in game six to try and keep them alive. And you kind of have to allow someone to fight for your team.
It's also sports, right? And you mentioned this a little bit. It's like, did anybody know that Alec Mills was going to throw a no-hitter? Like, if I told you there were going to be two Chicago players that were going to throw a no-hitter this year, you'd be like, okay, probably Lucas Giolito because he's good.
And you Darvish.
And you Darvish, right? But it's Alec Mills. Like, stuff happens. Guys are just on. Like, adrenaline takes over. You never know what's going to happen. Like, you don't go into a game thinking that, you know, LeBron is going to go 0-for from the field, or that he's going to go perfect from the field, or that Steph's going to set a record in threes. Or, like, you don't know what's going to happen. And you have to adjust your game plan. And when Snell is pitching lights out and has only given up two hits, you don't just automatically go back to the analytics when it's a win or go home situation. He's already struck out Mookie Betts twice.
Yeah, you know, and it's no matter the level of athletics that you've competed in your life, I guarantee we've all had the moment where we've been completely on fire. You can't explain it.
Mm-hmm.
You just know that everything you touch, you're either hitting that shot, you're making the perfect pass, you're pitching perfectly, you're catching everything in an outfield. You know, we've all had those days. You know, but if you were told predeterminedly ahead of time, you're not mm-hmm. you're not having one of those days today.
Yeah,
like, doesn't that ruin the point of
athletics? When you and I drive to go hit golf, I don't sit there and go, you know what? I'm shooting 100 today. Today's just not the day. I'm going to hit 100 today. And no, you go in thinking you're going to shoot a 70 every time because that's what you have to do. Or else, what are you going out there for?
Or like me, 90. Well, try and get to 90.
Whatever. My point is that you don't go out there to suck.
Well, right. Well, yes. And when you see someone excel like Blake Snell did last night, you'd like to see him get to the point where he starts to drop off.
Yeah.
Like, that's the key, is they take him out before he gets to that point.
We talked a lot about blackjack earlier on Waddle and Sylvie. What's the saying? You never walk away from a heater. Don't walk away from a heater.
No.
You keep betting. You keep betting until you lose.
You walk into the heater.
Yeah.
You get hot.
Absolutely.
We'll be back in 2 minutes. Coming up, we have five up and five down, the five best NFL teams and the five worst NFL teams coming up in your calls right here on ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.